You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we wrapped up that last segment with Harry Cooper, Keith gave me a friendly punch in the arm and said, "There's just a spirit about the show tonight." I tell you what, though. Sasha Rossmuller, Henrik Palmgren, Harry Cooper, everybody's in the highest of spirits. Something's going on. Something's in the air tonight.
It must be the phase of the moon.
Now, Keith, when he finishes eating that peanut butter cracker he got out of the craft services.
I can chew gum and talk. chew gum and walk at the same time.
Got him a Lance peanut butter cracker here in the green room. Keith loves to snack during breaks. That's why we got to take him.
That's better than drinking, which another person I know.
All right, so cutting through the media spin, we're going to be documenting the global push to eradicate free speech and peaceful assembly this hour. But before we do that, I just got to say, 1 week remaining in March Around the World, we got to take a quick time out to let you know that our first quarter fundraising drive wraps up in a week as well. And we have gotten off to a slow start, not unusual for the first quarter, although there's a little sense of foreboding right now because, you know, we're checking the
countdown to the election.
Well, we're just look, folks, I mean, this show's basically up for renewal every quarter. We've never really had a lot of slack with regards to the budget and with regards to our finances here. We get by living off the land and piece by piece, and everything helps. And so it has been a slow start to the year. We normally have a pretty good Christmas, and then the first quarter is a little bit touch and go, and we need to do a little bit better. I want to thank everybody who's contributed, and we appreciate you. There are some regular – listen, if you give quarterly, if you give intermittently, we need you right now. This is an important year, and if you don't think that we, over the last two decades, have had an impact on the discourse here in this country, you know, I think you're wrong. I don't think – and worldwide. I don't – you know, you look at the portfolio here, and you look at the amount of coverage and the media attention and all of that, but not just that, not just that, although that is important. I mean, you know, the tree falls in the forest, nobody hears it or sees it, you know, that whole thing. But, you know, so, you know, we've definitely made some noise, but we've done it with honor and with integrity and by putting our best foot forward and the best foot forward for our people, by having fantastic guests and by reasoning responsibly for our issues. And so,
you know, it reminds me of, James, it reminds me of that Beach Boys song about catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world. We caught the wave. We got involved just as basically the internet was really catching on. And I mean, we have so much more influence than our predecessors did. And that's no knock on our predecessors, but you know, the people back in the Council of Conservative Citizens, things like that, to get their message out, they were mimeographing sheets and attaching them to windshield wipers and stuff like that. There's been a whole new world with the internet, and we've been positioned to, you know, be at the crest of that.
Well, you know, it's been an interesting evolution, I think, if you look, as you're right, because when we first went on the air, I think it was right after Facebook and before Twitter and YouTube. So, I mean, that's a long time ago. You know, you go back to the early mid-2000s, 2004, obviously, for us. But
we've been thrown off of more platforms than
but also, we were there right at the age of mass broadcasting on the internet, right at the dawn of that age. And then, you know, 10 years before this proliferation of people that are coming on to our way of thinking here with podcasting and live streaming and, of course, being here on terrestrial radio.
Like the old song, we were country when country wasn't cool.
Very unique. But, you know, it only lasts so long as the support holds out. And this is our 20th year, and we want to see it through. And so we need your support. That's it. And we got to get back to work here. We need your support. We got a pretty good fundraising incentive, an autographed copy of Steve King's book, Walking Through the Fire. I was with Steve in Florida earlier this year, or earlier back just last month, earlier in February, and we had a great time together. And watched him sign all of these books that we're getting out, but we do need your support. This has been a slow start to the first quarter fundraising drive. We've only got a week left. You have to send it in through the mail. God knows we've been deplatformed by every credit card processing company in the world, and so we need your help. Now, that being said, please help.
Our theme song for this term is You've Only Just Begun, or We've Only Just Begun by the Carpenters. You need to play that the next break.
All right. So now let's get back to the theme, March Around the World, all of these international guests. There is a march around the world to absolutely stifle, imprison, otherwise censure dissent. We've seen it all over the place, and we're going to tie a lot of these things together. We're going to break it down, cut through the media spin this hour, and make sense of it for you. And we're talking about this nature by which the system is trying to stamp out free speech and assembly. This is going to be a very important hour. It's just Keith and I, no guests this hour. One more week in March Around the World. We're going to make our final stops next week, and then next week's Easter as well. It's Holy Weekend. Brett McAtee will be with us to share the Easter story next week. So,
As always.
Here we go. Let's first, continue on in Europe, the attack on our people in Europe. We talked about Sam Melia last week with Keith Woods of Ireland. The BBC headline reads, far-right activist jailed after sticker campaign. A far-right activist has been jailed after a judge branded him an anti-Semite with Nazi sympathies. Well, the first thing you got to know is that this is what they call all of us. All of us are called these things. That is just par for the course. Now, if you're not being called a Nazi,
if you don't drink the Kool-Aid, you're a Nazi.
If you're not being called that, something's wrong with you. What are you not doing right? Sam Melia, 34 years old, was found guilty earlier this year of inciting racial hatred after a series of stickering incidents between 2019 and 2021. I just want you to first focus on how absurd that first sentence of this BBC article is. He put stickers up, or he made stickers available that other people put
up. He's guilty of sticker terrorism, I guess.
He's going to jail now, going to prison for 2 years, a Crown Court ruled.
What did the offensive stickers say, James?
Judge Tom Bayliss said, the publication of this kind of material is corrosive to our society. The stickers read, it's okay to be white.
Yeah, that's the most dangerous set of words in the English language now, according to English judiciary officials.
2 years in prison. This is a young man with a wife and a child and one on the way. He's going to prison for 2 years for distributing stickers or making available stickers for distribution that read, it's okay to be white. The judge told Melia, I am quite sure that your mindset is that of a racist and a white supremacist. You hold Nazi sympathies. It's okay to be white. All right? Sentenced to 2 years. And the police detective of this jurisdiction, the head of counterterrorism in the northeast side of, I guess this is London, said, quote, those that seek to bring hatred to our communities through actions such as stickering will be identified and brought to justice. Do you remember a few years ago, stickering? They're going to be brought to justice by bringing hatred of stickers that say it's okay to be white. Do you remember a few years ago? It was like every week there was a major bombing in the UK. Muslims were just bombing the hell out of everything. Concerts,
that doesn't hold a candle. Bombing doesn't hold a candle to stickering, though, now.
So this is what's going on there in the UK, all right? This is what's happening in the UK. He's going to prison for 2 years. It's okay to be white. And then, of course, we know we talked about this with Keith Woods last week as well. Belgium. Greg Hood had a great blog at American Renaissance. Belgium has not killed him, he writes, but it's trying to steal his life. A Belgian court sentenced Dries Van Langenhove to 1 year in prison for spreading hate. Yes, I know, folks, we did cover some of this with Keith Woods last week. We're going to recover some of it again. I think it's important to do that. And then we got some other things later this hour that we didn't cover last week, okay? He's got to pay a fine of $17,000, all right? He's going to prison. And the media is pleased. There's all of these headlines just celebrating the fact that Dries is going to prison for a year. He's been fined all of this money. Fox News got in on it and said this sentence is, quote, a major ruling in how a nation deals with extremism. You know, and in his case, in this case, it is even much worse than Sam Melia, who only made stickers that said it's okay to be white. Dries Van Langenhove did not actually even post the so-called offensive memes. And none of these stories reported on what was actually said in the memes. He was simply in a group chat. He was simply in a group chat, and he didn't reprimand somebody who said something that made a joke about a black person.
Or so says the Flemish equivalent of the Orwell's Ministry of Truth.
And this was 7 years ago. I might add, this was 7 years ago. This whole thing in question was 7 years ago. Some people find memes and jokes offensive. Some people find them funny. But what kind of country imprisons people for jokes? A tyrannical one.
These jokes are apparently like plutonium. They have a shelf life of plutonium. See, it's all crazy. What is worse, stickering or buggering? You know, quite frankly, I'd rather be stickered than buggered. But that's buggering is a sacrament among our elites now. But stickering, my gosh, you know, if you absolutely, if this is kind of like going back to what we said was the main way that we communicated with other people back in the old days before the internet, by putting mimeographed pieces of paper under windshield wipers. Stickering, I guess, is one stick or one step higher than that, but they will not tolerate any expression of independent thought. That they will basically, you know, this is really worse than Orwell's 1984.
Elon Musk, as we talked about with Keith Woods last week, caught on to what's going on with Dries in Belgium. He said, "You're going to prison just for not responding to this meme." Dries responded to Elon Musk. You know, obviously Elon Musk does this for a reason. We talked at length about this with Keith Woods last week. Dries responded to Elon Musk. Dries Van Langenhove, a former member of parliament there in Belgium, rising star in the political scene there. Not only is he going to prison, not only has he been fined $17,000, he's been forbidden to run for office again for the next decade. And that's the real killer. That's the real kill shot. He wrote to Elon Musk, "Yes," in response, even though the judge and the media admitted that I never sent any of these memes. The judge argued that I should have done more to keep others from sending them, and he labeled the memes hate speech, which is a punishable offense in Belgium. You know, but here's the thing. This was a private group chat, Keith. And a state media organization took it upon itself to infiltrate this group chat, and it was the state media organization who shared word, or rather spread word, of what was said that was so offensive, which I don't even know. It hasn't even been reported what it was.
The originators of these comments that they found. You know, see, this is what, well, we don't seem to understand that it's a, like the camel's nose in the tent. You can't let them do things like we have. It took 44 chimes for the U.S. Congress to pass a hate crimes law. 43 times it failed, but they're like the devil. The left is like the devil. They never sleep. And because they never sleep, they got it passed on the 44th try. And now they are going full speed ahead, pell-mell, for hate speech laws. And hate speech laws basically mean that, you know, free speech is dead. If you have hate speech laws, basically you can, hate speech and freedom of speech cannot coexist in the same space.
This, because of Elon Musk's amplification, has really been a big talking point on Twitter. People writing, former Flemish parliamentarian Dries Van Langenhove has just been sentenced to 1 year in prison because supposedly racist memes were shared in a private group chat he was part of. This is the absolute state of freedom of speech in Europe.
And just think about what's happening here in America, okay? Kristi Noem of North Dakota, the governor, has passed a hate speech law that basically gives the same type of penalties if you utter something that some crazy person deems to be anti-Semitic. That type of thing now. See,
well, you see,
it's
you're seeing
America.
This from the Republicans, especially
Ron
the
DeSantis.
Republicans.
Ron DeSantis.
And in Georgia. In Georgia, you know, they have this thing about flyering, or, you know, it used to be they tried to get you for littering. Now they're getting you for a felony if you put out a flyer that they don't
so
like.
So basically what we did without any type of restriction back in the 60s and 70s and whatnot, by putting mimeograph sheets under windshield wipers, that's now going to be a capital offense under
exactly.
the new regime.
Exactly. That's it. And this is another comment on what's happening in Belgium. This is insane. Belgian politician Dries Van Langenhove, who we know. Yeah. We met. We know. We met him
at Amarin.
At Amarin. And gave him a package that Philip DeWinter had had me deliver. He hand-delivered it to Philip for me, that Philip had requested, rather, but was sentenced to 1 year in prison for being in a group chat with offensive memes. Free speech is on his deathbed. Now, Vlaams Belang denounced the verdict. Party leader Tom van Grijken said that, quote, Belgian justice is rotten to the core. And, of course, you know, we know Philip. We know Anka. And
Van der Hoven.
Well, I don't think you're pronouncing that right, but it's a tough one. Vandermeersch.
Vandermeersch, excuse me. Right.
But
my bad.
Former Miss Belgium. And they came down to Memphis and hung out with us. And, of course, anyway. But we're still in touch with them. And they were on the show last year doing March Around the World in tandem, no less. So check that out in the archives if you missed it. But Greg Hood, wrapping this up, we should not overlook what we still have. The First Amendment may be a paper shield, but it's better than nothing. In most of the so-called free world, there is no free speech. Controlling speech through tyrannical means is now widespread. We're already familiar with the case of Dries Van Langenhoven.
See, 1984 was supposed to be a cautionary tale, not a blueprint, and that's the way the left has used it.
Though Elon Musk noticed the case and seemed sympathetic, most media suggest that Mr. Van Langenhoven had it coming for looking at impolite memes 7 years ago and thus spreading hate. Of course, even if we accept the silly idea that jokes are hate, it was the state media who spread it to the public. So that's what's going on. March Around the World, this is what we're talking about. We're checking in on where our people stand at distant ports of call. And we've been to the Balkans, we've been to Scandinavia, we've been to the British Isles, we've been to Australia, Canada, elsewhere.
Wouldn't that be delicious irony if the judge that declared a sentence on Mr. Van der Hoven, is that it?
Langenhoven.
Langenhoven was himself brought up on charges because his case and his commentary on the case represented hate speech.
But this is we're taking a look at the good and the bad and the indifferent of our people across the Western world and beyond during this month. And so right now in this hour, Keith and I are taking a look at these issues. These are important issues. And then, of course,
it's everywhere, folks. It's not just over in Europe. It's not just in places that have no experience really with a legal heritage of freedom of speech. This is happening in Florida. Ron DeSantis passed a hate speech law, again, based on anti-Semitism, and signed it into law.
Which anti-Semitism is anything, you know, if you have any objective criticism of anything going on with the Israeli state or anybody who may be Jewish, yeah, I mean, you know, you cannot criticize them for any reason whatsoever.
He went over there, slapped a yarmulke on his head, kissed the wailing wall, and signed the law.
Well, okay? They got it in Georgia. Now you're talking about, I didn't even know about the Christy Noem thing, that's South Dakota.
But, South Dakota, not North Dakota.
Yeah, what's the difference? But anyway, and you know, coming a little bit closer to home.
It's just virtue signaling. I don't think that either North Dakota or South Dakota are hotbeds of anti-Semitism. But
whatever
it's kind of like our version of or the mainstream conservatives' version of the Me Too movement. They say, Me Too, Me Too. I'm against anti-Semitism as well, even though, you know, most people in North Dakota, South Dakota, or wherever have, you know, probably very little idea of what you're talking about. The Jewish population, I'm sure, is
less. How many Jews are in North and South Dakota?
but I tell you what, they're protecting those, they're probably a handful, maybe four or five, but they are being protected to the utmost by the
entirety of the state governments. All right. So, you know, in this hour, we're talking about the global push to eradicate free speech and peaceful assembly of dissident thoughts and activists around the world. This is March Around the World. So the Sam Bilia case in the U.K., the Dries Van Langenhoven case in Belgium. Coming back a little bit closer to home, we've been talking with Paul Fromm and Remy Tremblay this month as part of this special series in Canada about the Online Harms Act. Later this hour, still before the end of the hour, Keith and I are going to talk about a couple of very troubling concerns here in the United States, the so-called United States. But let's get back to Canada here very quickly. I got the very next issue of American Free Press, and I got to thank again Paul Angel, Chris Patrick, John Friend, all of our friends at American Free Press, forgive me the opportunity to do this column that appears in every issue. What it is now is a Q&A. Basically, it's a complimentarian type of thing here with our regular guests on the radio program. You love hearing them on the radio. Maybe you like reading about them. People like to receive their information through different ways, whether it's seeing it on TV, hearing it through radio, reading it in a publication. If you're not subscribing to the American Free Press, we can fix that real quick and easy. Go to American Free Press. Is it .org? I should know this. It's in my favorite places. I go there. AmericanFreePress.net. It's on my favorite places, so I just click it. I don't have to actually put it in. AmericanFreePress.net.
It's a reflex now.
AmericanFreePress.net. Well, if you just type in the first couple of letters, it comes up. AmericanFreePress.net. And you can subscribe, and I've got something in every issue, and including in the Barnes Review as well, in the current issue of the Barnes Review. The current issue of the Barnes Review, a Q&A with Kevin McDonald. In the next issue, Q&A with Sam Dixon. In the Barnes Review, also American Free Press, the next issue Q&A that we did with Paul Fromm, who was on the show earlier this month to talk about the Online Harms Act.
I can think
of
no organization that does a better job of providing the scholarly underpinnings of all these movements that we are, you know, that animate us and other people in our movement than the American Free Press and the Barnes Review, which are related.
They are. They are sister publications. One is a biweekly newspaper. One is a quarterly historical journal. They would say revisionist. It's actually true history. I don't like the revisionist label. We're telling the truth about history.
No, we're telling the truth. We're telling true history rather than
court
history.
I never did understand why our people accept, you know, that we're revisionists. We're actually just telling the truth of the history as it happened.
For example, well, it's one of those myths that we're all supposed to buy, like the lone gunman theory for JFK and Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy's assassinations. You know, that was just some wild guy. Forget about it. There's nothing here to see.
All right. So back to the attack on our people around the world. By any means necessary, as much as they can get away with, they can put you in jail for a year or two in the UK or in Belgium in the cases of Sam Ely or Dries Van Langenhoven. That's what they'll do. And they want that in Canada. They want it here, too. We're going to close with that tonight.
Look at Julian Assange. I mean, he can't – if he comes into America and is tried, he will be put away for the rest of his life, like a dungeon in the medieval times.
This next issue, as I was just mentioning, of American Free Press is going to have a Q&A, a follow-up to the interview that we did with Paul Fromm earlier this month during March Around the World here on TPC about the Online Harms Act. I'm going to cheat a little bit, give you a little sneak peek on a little bit of his answers in this Q&A that will appear in the American Free Press in the next issue. This is what he said about the Online Harms Act. He talked about it earlier this month on the show. In the next issue of American Free Press, he says this. The act adds Stalinist-era punishments for online hate, quote-unquote, and Stalin's Soviet Union anti-Semitism was punishable by death. Canada pretends to be more civilized. So advocacy of genocide, whatever that is, can get you up to life imprisonment for mere words. Also, any branch of the criminal code, say assault, Paul writes, if motivated by hate against a privileged group, but not whites, religion, but not Christianity, sex or sexual orientation, but not heterosexual, can increase the sentence to up to life in prison. So you got hate, you commit a hate crime, whatever that is, life in prison in Canada would be on the table if the Online Harms Act is enacted into law.
And what would you expect, James, from a nation that is headed up with Fidel Castro's illegitimate son?
Paul continues, and I said, well, what more can you tell us about this act? What are people missing? And he writes this. Well, a person who fears another person may commit a hate crime can go before a judge and seek an order that would preemptively force house arrest. Can you imagine this, ladies and gentlemen? The wearing of an electronic bracelet, the forced testing for substances and restriction on movement. This would all be preemptive. We know the anti-whites portrayed themselves as endlessly afraid and vulnerable. This could result in massive abuse of our liberties. In addition to the criminal code provisions, the Canadian Human Rights Commission could now receive complaints about online expressions of quote-unquote hate as being discriminatory practice. At Human Rights Tribunal, really kangaroo courts, Paul writes, where the appointed judge is chosen for a special sensitivity to human rights, and that doesn't include the freedom of speech, and the truth is no defense, the victim has little chance. Also, if the accuser is fearful of retaliation, Paul writes, his or her or its identity may be kept secret from the defendant and the press. In other words, a millennium of Anglo-Saxon individual rights. In this case, the defendant's rights to face his accuser would be tossed out the window. the UK, Belgium, Canada. This is what they're trying, and this is what they'll get away with unless good people stand up. And that's what we're trying to do right now.
It's absolutely demonic, James.
We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters. ISIS claiming responsibility for a massive terrorist attack at a concert hall near Moscow. Five gunmen wearing masks shooting and killing at least 60 people, more than 145 others injured in the attack. Disturbing video posted online showing the five gunmen in military uniforms shooting at civilians with automatic weapons as other people are screaming and running for cover. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby telling reporters,
"There is no indication at this time that Ukrainians were involved in the shooting."
Now, the Russian rock band called Picnic was about to take to the stage to start playing at the sold-out show. The five terrorists also throwing explosives in the building, which started a massive fire. Russian media says none of the venue's security guards had guns and may be among those who were killed. The U.S. Embassy in Moscow had warned Russian authorities of a possible terrorist attack 2 weeks ago. Conservative Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene wants the House Majority Leader removed. Here's USA's John Schaefer.
Georgia Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene is advocating for the removal of House Speaker Mike Johnson from his position. Greene has submitted a motion to remove Johnson from the speakership because of his endorsement of a government spending bill exceeding $1 trillion. I'm John Schaefer.
Well wishes coming in from around the world, reacting to news that Princess Kate Middleton being treated for cancer. The princess, who is 42, describing in a video recording how she and her family are dealing with the diagnosis.
"This, of course, came as a huge shock. And William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family."
As for the couple's three children,
"As I've said to them, I am well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal."
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
You've been working hard, doing the right thing and paying your taxes and putting your hard-earned money in the Medicare piggy bank all your life. And now it's time to break the piggy bank and get something back. Medicare. If you didn't know it, Medicare is health insurance for people over 65, and you've paid for it with your tax dollars. Medicare plans now have more benefits than ever. That's good news, especially if you're like me and looking forward to paying as little as possible for good health insurance. Call and find out what Medicare plan is best for you. Save your time. It's valuable. We've already done the research for you, and in one quick phone call, you can learn how to get the best Medicare plan designed exactly for you. Hey, it's one of the most important decisions in your life. Let us help you through it. Here's our number. Call 65 Plus Medicare now. 800-778-8214. 800-778-8214. That's 800-778-8214.
Hey there, TPC family. This is James Edwards, your host of the Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today, or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net. Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com. Well, I'm thankful the way the calendar fell this year with there being five Saturdays in the month of March. That gives us one more week than we would normally have to enjoy this march around the world. What do you think about this year's installment, Keith?
Couldn't be better. I tell you what, it's like fine wine, gets better with age.
We got one more week next week. We'll make our final stop. It all started the first week of this month in Zagreb, Croatia, with Tom Sunić. We've been to a lot of different places since then. One more week next week, and then we'll head into Confederate History Month in April. But tonight, this third hour, we are talking about the assault on free speech around the world. I think that would be the way we would entitle this hour. And here in the United
March
States,
of the censors.
Here in the United States, it's not a crime for me to do this radio program yet. But going back to Greg Hood's coverage of this at American Renaissance, here too, though, we are just a few Supreme Court justices away from a creative ruling that carves out hate speech from First Amendment protection.
You read what the most recent judge elevated to the Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown, said. She said that the First Amendment.
What do you think her IQ is?
Somewhere in double digits. ain't no telling. It's probably below 90, maybe even below 80. But nonetheless, she said that the First Amendment is a impediment to government. Well, duh, Ketanji, that's why it was passed, to be an impediment to the tyrannical power of government.
And we shouldn't be under any illusions about our opponents, Greg Hood continues at Amren.com. They are would-be dictators, and so-called democracy doesn't restrain them. In fact, democracy now, if somebody says, you know, Washington Post says democracy dies in darkness, like they're the defenders of democracy, they want to, you know, the people who are defending democracy want to eradicate the Greek version of ideal
of
democracy.
They are truly forces of darkness. They used to say give light and the people will find their own way. They say give darkness and we'll make sure the people don't find their way.
So across the world, we're seeing what happens. But you say, yeah, well, they don't have the First Amendment over there. Well, the First Amendment is very tenuous and always up for reconsideration. And it's already happening here in America, folks, if you don't know that. It is already happening here in America, not just with Trump, but I know this guy in Oklahoma that they're trying to recall. And we have to talk about this. This is Tim Dickinson at Rolling Stone. Tim Dickinson at Rolling Stone wrote the article about me and Sam Bushman a few months ago about us being the nexus of white supremacy and anti-government or whatever he called us. But anyway, he's got a new one out about Judd Blevins. Judd Blevins is a city councilor in Enid, Oklahoma. I had the opportunity to meet Judd at a talk last year. I gave a talk, and he was there. And he seems like an all-American guy. I would have told you this last year, but I don't think there's any belief that we're outing him now. And, he just came and we talked, and he seemed like a great guy. He seemed like the kind of guy I would be honored to have representing me that I would love to vote for. And this, again, Greg Hood, all over all of this, whether it's Sam Elia or Dries Van Langenhove or Judd Blevins, Greg Hood at American Renaissance is covering it. We're doing it here. He's doing it there. It's a big tag team effort tonight. But this is what Greg Hood writes about this case in Oklahoma. And when I read this to you, you ask, are we better off here than they are in Europe? Not much. Here's the story. In February of 2023, Judd Blevins won a seat on the City Council of Enid, Oklahoma. It's a conservative city and a conservative state with more than 60% of the voters leaning GOP. However, a coalition of extreme left-wing organizers in alliance with the national media is recalling him. Mr. Blevins reportedly was a member of Identity Europa, and he was doxxed by a left-wing journalist years ago. This isn't anything new. This isn't a new revelation. He also attended the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville in 2017. Identity Europa, noted for its moderate stance within the pro-white movement, has seen many of its arguments on immigration and reverse racism become Republican staples over the years. The goal of the rally in Charlottesville to defend historic monuments has now been fully justified, and a report commissioned by the city itself found that local officials encouraged the violence. You know, so we say extremism. Judd Blevins is the extremist because he tried to save a Robert E. Lee monument, one of the greatest heroes in American history. He tried to save this masterpiece, this work of art. He's an extremist because he went to the Charlottesville in 2017. No. The extremists are the ones opposing him, I say. One of the leading organizers of the so-called Enid Social Justice Committee is Father James Neal, who says it is essential to affirm that Jesus Christ was transgender. And he also promotes drag Bible story hour at his so-called church. These are the people, Keith, and some fat, obese, purple-haired with a buzz cut woman are the ones leading the charge to recall Judd Blevins, who I met. And I can tell you, first impressions mean a lot. Judd Blevins, I will tell you, I think he's a good guy. He should be a guy that represents an area like Enid. God bless him for going to protect and preserve a monument to the great American, the great Christian, Robert E. Lee. And to hell with these sons of bitches like Father James Neal and all of this. This is it. I am sick of it.
Father James Neal, he probably gives laying on of hands and anointing with oil a new meaning over at his church. But see, what is happening? It all has to do with the electoral process. They want a recall. Recall what? A recall election. They think they can manipulate the ballot box situation in the election apparatus in order to win with their minority position. How many people in Enid, Oklahoma, do you think would endorse James Neal's program and whatnot?
Ten.
But, you know, you hide and watch. See if they don't get him recalled. And they'll do it because they cheat. They're not afraid to cheat. They have no morality. They have no scruples. They have no standards. They just, you know, it's like Al Davis, the Jewish owner of the Oakland Raiders, once said, just win, baby.
Here it is. This is the rest of the story. None of these attacks on Blevins is new. These are no revelations that he was a member of Identity Europa, that he went to preserve the Robert E. Lee Monument in Charlottesville. The recall has found nothing about him that was unknown before he ran for city council. All of this was in the news before Election Day when he first won his office. He has also faced what was probably an attempt to kill him. Somebody cut the brake lines of his truck. He's not backing down, though. He writes this. This is Mr. Blevins, Judd Blevins here, the city councilor in Enid, and I quote, "I choose to place my future in the hands of the voters because I am confident they're going to reaffirm the decision that they made a year ago, that I am the best to represent them," end quote. A grassroots activist with little money was popular enough to be elected. Now the leftists are trying to do the election over again. The recall, Keith, this is what you don't know, scheduled for April 2nd. This is coming up very soon, in just a few days, and it's going to be a powerful test, Greg Hood concludes at Amrin.com, of whether the racial double standard against whites is beginning to fade. If he wins, that is a very positive sign. Commissioner Blevins is raising money to hold on to his seat, and his website has more information about the campaign. His opponents have NBC to speak for them. He will have to speak for himself. Go to Amrin.com, do a Control-F, a search for Judd Blevins. You'll find this article. You can link over to his website. Support him. I met him. Seems like a great guy. He came, he heard me talk, and we hit it off.
Well, if you want to question anything about the election of Judd Blevins, what you need to investigate is how they managed to get a recall.
How did they? You know, that's something that has not been brought up, and I don't know the answer. I would have already told you that they were able to get this on the ballot for a special election recall. That is something.
There was some type of manipulation, and when you get a certified nut job pervert like this Right Reverend James Neal or something, I believe you said his name was, of the transgendered.
All over his social media, it's like, Jesus Christ was transgender. We want drag Bible story hour. I mean, this is a pervert.
Yeah, but, yeah.
These are the people that are opposing this guy.
Yeah, be sure that you...
know me by my enemies.
Be sure you don't go there when he's anointing people with oil. But, you know, this is what America has come to, even in a place as conservative as Enid, Oklahoma.
Well, in Oklahoma, there's probably two idiots like this guy that we're talking about. But they're good. But you know, who's NBC going to amplify? You know, see, the establishment controlled press is going to amplify these people as if they are a vocal minority in Enid, or you know, it's probably a handful of people that are opposing this guy. But they're making it out like half the town. But we'll see what happens when this election is held.
Well, one thing is for sure, they have control of the electoral process there, because I can't imagine any place allowing a recall election, you know, of a guy, you know, who has
duly elected and nothing has come up to overturn that except for
their election commission or something must be rotten. There must be something rotten in the walls of Denmark and Enid, Oklahoma, for this thing to get on the ballot.
I agree with Greg Hood, though. We're gonna know more on April 2nd. If he wins re-election, maybe so-called conservatives and so-called red states are growing a pair.
And what you need to do,
we'll
if
find
he
out.
Wins, you need to go after the election commission there and rout the rascals out.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey friends, James Edwards here again to remind you that Antelope Hill Publishing is America's premier provider of dissident literature. They print books that mainstream publishers are too afraid to touch, providing you with information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interests include contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored or slandered, philosophy, or exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you'll find plenty to love in the Antelope Hill catalog, which includes books such as Generation 68, The Elite Revolution and Its Legacy, about the elite-driven cultural revolution of the 1960s, which transformed America. Whitey on the Moon, about the demise of the space program due to diversity. The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism. Speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that they have something for everyone. So check out their catalog today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
I don't have plans and schemes, and I don't have hopes and dreams. I don't have anything since I don't have you.
If we don't have you, folks, we've got nothing. We don't have anything. That's the Skyliners, Keith. I know you love that one.
That's a one-hit wonder, but they are one of the best. That is one of the all-time great rock era songs. That's kind of doo-wop, but it is just, I mean, it is pure excellence.
You had me at doo-wop.
Yeah, right. I tell you what, even I can go for some doo-wop, and that has the
Skyliners. You go, what doo-wop do you not go for? Come on now. You love it all. As much as I do. What are you talking about?
Well, I've watched or listened to this thing, you know, the doo-wop stop, and he gets some pretty obscure things that are not all that good, but that
but
is solid
gold.
But
of the doo-wop hits that we all love.
Well, we of course, the great doo-wop group of all time was the Four Seasons, right?
Well, you know, they had the doo-wop harmonies. They had the doo-wop, but, you know, they didn't actually do the doo-wop, which was the unintelligible lyrics of the doo-wop era. Yeah. But I mean, you could...
What they used to call scat singing before the rock and roll era. They had plenty of stuff like that.
I can
like
play you doo-wop.
Callaway did a lot of scat singing, okay? You know, but, I mean, that song from 1959, that is perfection. That is recording perfection. Everything about it. It's well produced, well sung, perfect voices, perfect tonality throughout it. No auto tune needed here. This is just perfection.
They had the one, four guys and one female.
And the last high pitch that you hear, that is the female, a soprano, you know, arpeggio there at the end. And that's the other thing. The main singer is a guy named Jimmy Beaumont. And he is just perfect, man. I mean, the whole group is great, and it's a white group, by the way. Okay,
well, there you go. Now there was a black group, the Miracles, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. They had.
The one I like the best is the Flamingos, who did are the star. I Only Have Eyes for You. Remember that one?
Well, I don't. They didn't have a female in it, though, did they?
No, they didn't.
The Miracles did.
Yeah,
and it was Smokey's wife. But then yeah. Smokey was having an affair with Diana Ross.
Smokey was smoking.
But it was, you know, it was for a year. And he just, you know, it was a mistake, he said, for a year. But
that's
it,
a long
it made
mistake.
Great music. Right. I mean, can you imagine Smokey Robinson?
Well, let me tell you
and
what.
Diana Ross, do you know how many hits those two had?
A lot. But on the other hand, did they have a song, did they have a hit better than I Only Have Eyes for
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I like that song, but I mean, the Supremes had a lot of good songs.
That's since I don't have you. Well, we'll play.
All right, we got to get back to work. Okay. Tears of a Clown is better than that, too.
Tears of a Clown is a good song, but I will still put I Only Have Eyes for You and Since I Don't Have You above them, okay?
If we don't have you, we'll
be nothing.
That's absolutely right. Folks, I got to tell you again before we run out of time tonight. We have to have your support. There's only 1 week left in our first quarter fundraising drive. This isn't, you know, for fun. We don't just say this because we like to. As a matter of fact, I hate to do it. It's the worst part of the job when we have to do the fundraising stuff. But we can't make it without you. We will not be here without you.
And it's stewardship Sunday here.
It's just, every quarter it's like this, and that's it. And thankfully we don't have to do it more than quarterly, but quarterly seems to get the ends met after all these years, and we've got a little cycle here. And if you've not yet given this month, we would appreciate your consideration. You have to mail it in. I know it's a hassle. You got to get a stamp, and those cost like $1 a piece now. It costs a lot to fundraise now because you got to mail these things out. And anyway, but... we'd appreciate your support if you're not yet given. We got a great fundraising incentive gift for you. But getting back to this march around the world and this march around the world to eradicate free speech, you know, is it better here than it is in Europe? I mean, you got this recall now of Judd Blevins.
We've got one thin piece of paper, the First Amendment, extra as a part of our arsenal to fight it. And thank goodness we have it. But nothing stops the left. The left has no respect for law or for the Constitution. Or for,
well, this is it. Democracy is holding recalls when a vote doesn't go your way. That's democracy, or putting your opposition in prison, or whatever you can get away with. They can't get away
and
with
how did
doing.
They
can't get away with doing to Judd Blevins what they're doing to Dries Van Langenhove yet.
Somebody but in Enid, Oklahoma. Can do this. How do they get that recall in Enid, Oklahoma? I say somebody's on the take.
Oklahoma is redder than any Confederate state. That's how red they are.
But the left knows where the power is, and they get the money to them, and they can corrupt them and convert them.
And it's not just Oklahoma. You go down to Texas, Virginia. These are Confederate states. Thomas Rousseau of Patriot Front was arrested in Texas on Virginia charges of burning an object, quote, to intimidate.
A tiki torch.
At the Unite the Right march on the University of Virginia campus. This is by Tim Dickinson. This is the guy for Rolling Stone. That wrote that I was this, that, and the other. I was the nexus of white supremacy and anti-government. And
Dickinson. Well, the one thing you can look forward to is that Tim Dickinson will probably be unemployed soon.
Dickinson.
Just like all of the rest of these leftist journalists, like the one that came after him here in Memphis. All of these people are, you know, they're basically standing on a thin reed, and it's about to break out from under them. And it's divine justice. It couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of people. I would love to have, what's that guy's name at Rolling Stone?
Tim Dickinson.
Tim Dickinson. I'd love to see him lose his job just like Mark Poresca did here in Memphis.
Thomas Rousseau, he writes for Rolling Stone, founder of the fascist group Patriot Front, has been arrested in Texas on a Virginia warrant for a charge of burning an object with the intent to intimidate. Rousseau was booked into McClellan County Jail in Waco, Texas, had his mugshot taken on February the 23rd. Jail records show him still in custody on a charge shorthand as burn object to intimidate. A post by Patriot Front details the Patriot Front leader Rousseau was arrested on a felony warrant out of Charlottesville, Virginia. It alleges that Rousseau's arrest is the product of a 7-year witch hunt by politically motivated prosecutors stemming from the events that transpired at the Unite the Right rally in 2017. Under Virginia law, Dickinson continues for Rolling Stone, burning an object with the intent to intimidate is a Class 6 felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. The Commonwealth Attorney for Albemarle County, Virginia, where the University of Virginia is located, brought similar charges against a host of tiki torch-carrying marchers last August. So here again, 7 years later, Keith, this is a felony, and under Virginia law, there is no statute of limitations on any felony. It's not just murder or rape or something like that. They say now that lighting a tiki torch is a felony, and so therefore there is no statute of limitations. That's why now, not 1 year, not 2 years, but 7 years after the fact, they can go after Rousseau and extradite him, and now he's facing up to a half a decade in prison for lighting a tiki torch. This is a torchlight rally. It is an American tradition. It is a beautiful thing, lighting up the darkness, all sorts of symbolism there. And I think, you know, again, between the recall of Blevins, between what they're doing to the J6 protesters, what they're doing to the Unite the Right people, you put all of the pieces together, Sam Melia, Dries Van Langenhove, what's going on in Canada, Thomas Rousseau, J6, Judd Blevins. The message is clear. Stay off the streets and shut the hell up. That's the message.
What if they'd given that message to Martin Luther?
They should have. They should have. I tell you, they should have. They should have. Because I appreciate this message in a way. I appreciate what the left is doing. It is exactly what we should have done and exactly what we should do again if ever we get back into power. It is exactly what we should do. And then some. This is exactly what we should have done before. It's exactly what we should do again. That's why I don't get too hot and bothered about it. Because they're doing what I would do. They are doing what I would do. I am telling you, and I know some people on our side disagree, let the might of our ideas reign and so on and so forth. No, they got to go.
Where did this crazy law come from? Lighting of something to intimidate someone? Well, it came from the Ku Klux Klan force acts and things like this right after the Civil War and Reconstruction that tried to punish Southern whites who were protesting the takeover of the government by vindictive abolitionists and radical Republicans and blacks, okay? Just like, what is the law that's being used to torment Donald Trump right now? Part 3 of the 14th Amendment. Again, a law in the Reconstruction era that was meant to punish white people. See, all of these things, these people that want to give a pass to the civil rights movement or to the anti-slavery movement, all of these so-called righteous left-wing initiatives, they're being shown here by God that these things were evil, and they're being used for evil purposes. They basically have a second life now. The Force Act and the Anti-Ku Klux Klan Act is now being used against Thomas Rousseau, and the 14th Amendment is being used to persecute Donald Trump.
I'm glad that our guests tonight, Sasha Rossmuller in Germany and Henrik Palmgren representing Sweden, believe and have reason to believe, good reason to believe, that things are turning around in those nations. But here, if you're not talking about secession, if you're not talking about abjuring the realm, you're whistling past the graveyard. There is no future for whites on this continent under the present system.
You're
and there's no future
the
for us on TPC without your support. Last week of the first quarter fundraising drive, we have got to have your support, folks.
We're a voice in the wilderness, people. Don't let us be squelched.
Got to have it. We've gotten off to a slow start. We need to shore up things last week. If you're listening, you enjoyed the show tonight. You've enjoyed it this month, this year, the last 20 years. Support us. Support us. Support us. Please support us. For Keith Alexander, Sasha Rossmuller, Henrik Palmgren, and Harry Cooper, I'm your host, James Edwards. Last week of March Around the World with a special Easter message from Pastor Brett McAtee. Next week it's coming. We'll see you then, and then we'll get into Confederate History Month. Good night. God bless you. We're out of here. Talk to you next week.